You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by WebEx.
Yes, you are, and we are delighted you've chosen to get up with us on this Wednesday. As always, we are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. You see the football squad is here, and Shefty and Teddy Bruschi are with us as well. Enormous football news. We're waiting on Deshaun Watson. And what did Baker Mayfield do last night? We'll get you to all of that. But, Bart, we have to start with Kyrie Irving last night. Holy smoke, this might have been the performance of the year. Kyrie against the Magic was a magician.
I tell you what, he has that ball on the string, give and go, and I love the variety of ways in which he scored the basketball. One of the best finishers in the league.
Yeah, let's show you a little bit of that here. He's just in a little pull-up jumper. He had 16 points in the first quarter, but he was just getting started, Bart. Here he goes in the second.
And that's what we're talking about. You know, I haven't seen a guy finish that well by the rim since AI.
Now, Ja Morant leads the league in points in the paint as a guard, which is remarkable, but that might be only because Kyrie Irving almost never plays. Look at him here. He was red hot. He had 6 of 7 from three in the first half, 41 points, and then he continued it rolling in the third quarter. Multiple defenders on him, but you can't stop him. That is Cole Anthony going down like he's still wearing Timberlands. That's 50 for Kyrie, and he continues the roll. This one gives him 57. The question is, did he have three more in him? And the question was rhetorical. Here it is, knocking it down. Kyrie Irving, 60 points last night on the road in Orlando, and the Nets win it 150 to 108. Kyrie, after the game, after he did everything for Brooklyn.
I'm just grateful it came in the flow of the game. You know, a few shots probably I shouldn't have taken. You know what I mean? Tough ones, you know, double teams, triple teams coming, but you know, as long as I could do it with a smile on my face and my teammates weren't too angry at me, it made this night worthwhile.
So I know what you're wondering. You're wondering, has this ever happened before? KD scored 53 in their last game, and now Kyrie scored 60. Have any teammates ever had consecutive 50-point games? I'm glad you asked. The answer is no. This is the first time that it has ever happened. If these two guys are both eligible, obviously the guy on the right is the one I'm talking about, the Brooklyn Nets are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I don't care what anybody else says. Okay, so that's that last night. Now to the football, where more quarterbacks could have new homes in the coming days. The QB movement started last week, of course, as you know, the Broncos trading a package of picks and players for Russell Wilson. That was after Aaron Rodgers decided to stay put. That deal will become official today. So will this one at 4 o'clock Eastern when the new league year begins. Carson Wentz will officially be a Commander. Washington sending several draft picks to Indy. They will pay his full salary. The next domino that we're waiting on here could be Deshaun Watson. All the reporting this week from Shefty and company that he's meeting with several teams, including the Saints, the Panthers, the Browns, and the Falcons. And so I happen to have Shefty with us here getting up early this morning. And this is a move that has a lot of ripple effects across the league, Shefty. So what is the very latest on Deshaun Watson this morning?
Deshaun Watson is trying to pick a new home, Greeny, and teams are looking at him as their quarterback of the future. Now, he's met with the Panthers and the Saints. Both are interested in trading for Deshaun Watson. And keep in mind, all these teams that we have mentioned have the parameters of a deal in place with the Houston Texans. The trade compensation element of this particular situation will not be difficult to work out once Deshaun Watson is willing to waive his no-trade clause to go to a certain team in a certain city. And his decision will affect the balance of power potentially in the NFC South and the NFC. If he doesn't choose Cleveland, which would be in the North, in the cold, and we all agree that Cleveland has a strong roster and he would be a great fit there and make the Browns potentially a Super Bowl contender. But the other teams offer location, proximity, warmth, things that the Cleveland Browns cannot. So if he picks a team in the NFC South, then that team would have an advantage for the next 10 years, not to mention the fact that the other two teams that don't get him in the NFC South would then have to face Deshaun Watson for the next 10 or so years. And then there will be the fallout of all the teams and the quarterbacks that didn't land Deshaun Watson, whether that's Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, Matt Ryan in Atlanta, Sam Darnold in Carolina, or potentially a quarterback like Jameis Winston who could be waiting in New Orleans. Taysom Hill's already on that roster. So there is all sorts of fallout and all sorts of ramifications that's going to come from the decision of one quarterback who's still facing the 22 civil lawsuits out there right now, who's been engaged in conversation with teams, and the teams so far have been impressed and comfortable with what they've heard.
And so to be clear, quickly, before I bring the rest of the crew in here, the no-trade clause means this is essentially his decision, and you just suggested that at least two of the teams already have the trade worked out. So this is really a matter of waiting for Deshaun to make up his mind, and then the deal gets done. It could be imminent.
I think all teams involved have the parameters of a deal in place. And I think that Deshaun, this decision has been complicated by the fact that all these organizations have put their best foot forward and all have impressed him, I think, more than he thought they would. And so he's got to decide where he wants to be for the next decade and where he'd like to call home. And I think it's important for him to try to be home, but again, maybe Cleveland somehow figures out a way to convince him to go there, which all of us would agree would be the unlikeliest of the options, but all these teams have gone after him. They're all interested. And yes, it comes down to where he wants to go and where he will be willing to waive his no trade clause to go in the future.
Now, you mentioned the ripple effect and you mentioned the Cleveland Browns. Oh, by the way, they have a quarterback who was the number one pick in the draft not that long ago. Or do they? Baker Mayfield, while you were sleeping, posted a thank you that sounded very much like a goodbye to the city of Cleveland. He wrote, "This is not a message with hidden meaning. This is strictly to thank the city of Cleveland for embracing my family and me. I have no clue what happens next," which is the meaning behind the silence I've had during the duration of this process. "I've given the franchise everything I have. That is something I've always done at every stage and at every level, and that will not change wherever I take my next snap." I mean, Shefty, every reference to Cleveland in this is done in the past tense, and he uses the words "wherever I take my next steps" or "my next snap," excuse me. So that sounds like a goodbye to me. How should we interpret it?
And no clue what's next. I think we interpret it as this, Greeny. We all knew that Baker, his situation in Cleveland was murky as it is. The Browns have gone out and they're after Deshaun Watson. It is no secret. And so Baker Mayfield is in the last year of his contract. They haven't worked out a contract extension with him. It doesn't look like they are going to work out a contract extension with him. And so Cleveland and Baker are doing a dance right now in which it seems like both are interested in looking elsewhere. But what are the options for each party? If the Browns are willing to move on from Baker Mayfield and don't land Deshaun Watson, who is Cleveland getting in there to play at quarterback? That would be an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. And where is Baker Mayfield going right now while we continue to wait for Deshaun Watson as this game of quarterback musical chairs continues to play out? Deshaun Watson's the domino that we all have to see how it falls and what the fallout will be. But right now, Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns are in a holding pattern with each other that neither side clearly feels overly comfortable about moving forward with in the future.
All right, Shefty, stay close. We'll come back to you. Let me bring the rest of the crew in here. Teddy Bruschi, I'll start with you. So Baker Mayfield, he's upset. I suppose on some level that's understandable. But what do you think of the way he went about very publicly voicing that?
Always been an emotional being, really. I mean, all the way back to college. Always said that wear my emotions on his sleeve. The way he's had confrontations with the media, the way he's had, you know, his emotional sort of outbursts on the field, I think this is along the lines. He says there's no hidden meaning, but it's obvious to where he's feeling. And we're always talking about quarterbacks' feelings in the offseason, it seems like. And this is the ripple effect, like Shefty says, of, you know, all these quarterbacks who, you know, they've been used to being now that guy, that number one overall pick, and it feels so good to be that guy. All of a sudden, no, you're just not that guy anymore. So this is sort of the reaction, the emotional reaction of a Baker Mayfield. Always been an emotional player, like I say, but I don't think this was something that needed to be done. That silence he talks about, I think he just had to keep that and just be that guy that, I mean, almost Baker's better when he has been doubted. He has been sort of spited, and he can use this to fuel his emotion.
Yeah, he was the walk-on who had to transfer in order to play. But then he became the Heisman Trophy yes. winner. He became the number one pick in the draft. He became the Progressive Commercials. Bart Scott, what do you think of this move?
He's at the top of the pyramid. And when you go to the top of the pyramid, it's not about grit, right? It comes down to talent. And the reality is he's short, slow, with a weak arm, average arm, and a tough division. And that doesn't age well. No, you know what I mean? And that's what he has to realize. I hope he has some Progressive liability insurance because he's about to lose a bunch of money. See, this is what happens, right? You have to have perspective in the league. You have to know who you are, what type of leverage you have. And he outplayed his cards, right? He tried to tell us that he was a $40 million quarterback. What he should have did is gave the Browns such a great deal. Listen, is there anything wrong with making $30 million a year, $35 million a year? He's a $30, $35 million a year. Don't tell me what the market is. You're not the elite of the elite. He should have gave them such a deal that they can put a great team around him. But now he's all played his cards. He bet on himself, and he bet wrong, and now he's got to live with the consequences. They're just not that into you.
I have been – that's quite the description. I have been asking you, it feels like now, for a long time, just how – into Baker Mayfield are the Cleveland Browns, and I will admit I'm surprised at just how not into him this makes it feel like they are. What is the reality here?
I mean, a year ago they were talking contract extension with him, and there was a number at which they would have done it. I mean, that range that you're talking about, but he wanted more, and they weren't able to come to an agreement. So now he has an injury year. They have a disappointing year, and the opportunity to get a player like Deshaun Watson, who again comes with a lot of baggage. Yes, we don't want to sweep any of that under the rug. The 22 civil lawsuits, everything that's going on with him. But as a pure football player, you look at him and you say he's an upgrade over Baker Mayfield by a wide margin in a lot of areas, so you have to pursue that. The Cleveland Browns operate very deliberately. The GM, Andrew Berry, the coach, Kevin Stefanski, like they know if we're going to go out there and it's going to get out that we're talking to Deshaun Watson, this is going to have an effect. It's going to have an effect on Baker Mayfield. So they've run through these scenarios. There's no question about it. Does that mean if we end up with him, how are we going to smooth that over? Does it mean we're going to have to trade him? And if so, what's our fallback if we don't get Deshaun Watson? So those are the conversations that are going on. In terms of Baker's post, I wouldn't have said this 3-4 weeks ago, but did he just come off a Pancha Karma? Isn't that what you do when you post on social media about gratitude after you?
Maybe.
I think he might be doing
it worked
like
for Rodgers, yeah. But there's a big difference in those two guys. Mike T, you were telling us this morning in our pre-show meeting, if Bill Parcells was running this organization, what would he be telling Baker right now?
We need a battlefield commander. It's always your fault, and when we have success, it's because of everybody else. We need somebody with rare mental and physical toughness, which he's manifesting none of that. And now it's not a question of if he's leaving, it's when. And I agree with Dan. The Browns knew exactly what was going to happen. As soon as they started to flirt publicly with Deshaun Watson, it was over in Cleveland for Baker Mayfield. I'm sure they're not going to talk contract extension now. I agree with Bart. He is like a Kirk Cousins type of player. And now, if I'm Cleveland,
I'm disrespectful to Kirk.
Kirk has made a lot of money.
And he's had a decent career.
Yeah.
But the point now, Greeny, is if I'm Cleveland, I'm on the clock. I need a new quarterback.
Yeah. So, Teddy, let me come to you because you're a locker room leader and a locker room presence. We all understand, though, the quarterback is a little different. Can the quarterback come back and lead the team if he has already posted an emotional thank you and goodbye on social media?
You're going to have to come back strong, man, because I think a lot of people in the locker room would see this like, I mean, what happened to the Baker that was like, you know, F the world? You know what I mean? In terms of none of it matters. I mean, it's almost things have changed for Baker after he became the number one pick. All the commercials and all of that just sort of made him a little soft. So it's like, dude, there was no need for this post, man. Get back in here and be who you are. I think there's still for a chance for him to do that. But now it's like, listen, you got to push the reset button. Push the reset button and realize you're always replaceable. Come on back to our level, which is sort of welcoming some of the guys. Hey, you're replaceable just like this, man. So let's just go out and do this together.
Oh, by the way, they just got Amari Cooper. I mean, this is a crazy time.
Yeah.
And the division has gotten a lot better. Look, I said it earlier. His post last night felt more like a goodbye than Tom Brady's retirement Instagram post of 40 days ago. He's back. Let's see what happens with Baker. In the meantime, Aaron Rodgers. We got the details on the contract yesterday, and they are significant. Does his new deal put the Packers in the best position to win a Super Bowl now? We'll talk about it. And then we get to Randy Gregory's flip-flop. Why is he ditching Dallas? And is there still something Jerry Jones can do to save the day? Those are the questions, and we've got the answers. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and it was yesterday, right around this time, that we got the contract details on Aaron Rodgers' extension in Green Bay. It's $150 million guaranteed dollars over the next 3 years. The contract was obtained by us here at ESPN. He's going to make just under $41 million next year, $59 million in 2023, $49 million in 2024, but they did some creative work so that the cap number comes substantially down this year, saved them some money. I saw a lot of people describe this as a win-win. Teddy, I've not yet heard yours or Bart's perspective, so let me hear from the two of you first. What is your take on Rodgers' decision to stay in Green Bay, how the contract looks, and what that team looks like to you?
And what the team looks like to me is just they're still, I think they're the leading candidate for the number one seed. I think they're my favorite in the NFC. I mean, Rodgers, of course, coming back. I mean, love Devondre Campbell coming back. I mean, I'm looking at David Bakhtiari. I mean, that left tackle, that's so important, the health of him. I mean, this team is right where it's supposed to be. I mean, you have problems losing to the Niners because of special teams, okay? You bring in Bisaccia, I believe, okay? Mm-hmm. You have a great special teams coordinator, so you think you have your problems fixed. Let's see how they manage Devontae Adams and his unwillingness to play in the franchise tag. But I think the Packers have shown they're willing to play the long game with whoever it may be. Mm-hmm. So I think the Green Bay Packers are my number one seed. I really like what they've done.
How about the decision by Rodgers to stay there, Bart? It's something you sort of projected would happen.
Well, this is kind of like backer to backer, right? I feel like this is backer on backer crime because I couldn't disagree more. You know, I think that, you know, Aaron Rodgers and his unwillingness to leave a little bit more cheese or take a little cheese off the taco so they can go get some depth. Because this you talk about Bakhtiari, right? He hasn't been healthy. You talk about Devontae Adams. They haven't been healthy. Now, they put the second round tender on Lazard, but they're going to lose Scanling. They don't have enough depth. So if these guys sustain an injury, they can't be able to rattle off those wins. And this isn't about the regular season. Now, I've seen this team go 13-3 and lose to Jimmy G twice. I still don't think they have enough depth. I still don't think they have, you know, you talk about special teams. Special teams isn't a result of the special team coach. It's a personnel issue when you talk about having great players, guys that can start in this league but are just behind because you drafted well and because you brought in great players. So I still go with Tampa. There's going to be another team that emerges that I believe that can pass them because I don't think that they can stay healthy. Nobody can stay healthy with this new marathon season.
Teddy, let me ask you a question, if I may.
Special teams is all about coaching. It's all about coaching because you force the head coach to give you the players that should be there and also the scheme. I mean, that block punt, that was something that was a problem ever since week 15 when the long snapper wasn't being helped by the left guard or the right guard. That's coaching. When you don't use that, that scheme in terms of helping your long snapper, and that was the scheme that cost him the season with the block punt for a touchdown. So the special teams coach is of utmost importance.
Okay, so let's leave that on the table for the moment. Let's talk about, so you're a guy who played for Bill Belichick. Those details were never missed. You're also a guy who played with Tom Brady. And we got into a pretty healthy debate on this show yesterday about the significance of Brady taking less money, accepting less money all those years, less cheese on the taco, as Bart just said. And Rodgers, while the contract is a little more team-friendly, clearly wasn't interested in going into that area. Teddy, how about that and the significance of Brady having been willing to do that for so much of his career?
Yeah, it helps money-wise. Sure, it does. Bart's absolutely right about that. But when it comes to a player like Rodgers that's going to take all this money and not leave any cheese on the table like Bart's talking about, all right, you better do your job in terms of drafting. So, I mean, you got to bring in young players that you have scouted and are still able to contribute. So the pressure now is sort of on the scouting and the draft, on the picks that they get third, fourth, fifth round, things like that. You're hoping those guys, and they did their job, that they can come in and contribute with some type of backup role, or when, you know, a player goes down and they have to play maybe one, two games, that's where the importance is now stressed.
And so Mike Tannenbaum is a guy, as a general manager, you would make those tacos and you're looking for all the cheese you can get on them. What is your perspective on all this?
I'm spraying the cheese as many places as I can. And I think we need some context here. Today is March 16th. Like, we got a long way to go. Mm-hmm. And the difference between Tampa Bay and Green Bay is there's more cap space in Tampa Bay. It's warmer. There's no taxes down there. And in this arms race, Greeny, the benefit of the doubt has to go to Tampa Bay because they're going to add more players on one-year deal than Green Bay can.
Well, let's talk about Green Bay's offseason, Dan. You're following it closely here. So the decision by Rodgers was one piece of the puzzle. What else is happening right there now around him?
Well, Bart mentioned they had to cut Za'Darius Smith for cap reasons, but they were able to extend Preston Smith, right? They're trying to bring back Rasul Douglas, the cornerback. They've already brought back Devondre Campbell. So they're making it work to some extent. I think, you know, there's time to get a deal done with Devontae Adams to avoid trouble there in terms of him not wanting to play. So the Packers knew, because they made it clear they wanted Aaron Rodgers back. They knew what the contract was basically going to look like and what the challenges would be with regard to the cap. So they've been at work on this a while. They'll be under the cap by 4 o'clock Eastern today, like everyone else will. And then they'll figure it out. The draft, you talk about receivers, Lazard, Valdez-Scantling, even Devontae Adams. These are all receivers they drafted after the first round. They feel like they can find guys that can fill in that pipeline.
But listen, you know, Teddy probably, I don't know if he started off on special teams like me, but it's about building a program. But it's also when those guys come of age, having enough money to give them those intermediate, that middle class type of contract that holds people down. My second contract was like 3 years, $15 million. But that allowed them to have a guy that still plays special teams, but was still able to really support Ray Lewis, and Ray Lewis go down, it's not all going to go to hell. You know, what happens with them, if they lose any one of their top guys, it's a wrap because they don't have guys that can kind of be Band-Aids.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens. I have to leave it there for the moment. We will come back to this. We have so much good football conversation today. I'm going to get you to the Randy Gregory thing coming up next. What the actual heck happened to him? Randy Gregory flip-flopping on the Cowboys. Is that deal done, or is there still something Jerry Jones can do about it? We'll answer that question, and we'll see if Graziano can answer this one. Again, sneaky Hembo, going away from football on Dan. I don't think this is reasonable, but here's the question. John Wooden won the most national title games with 10. Which coach has the most title game losses?
Okay.
That's the question. The answer is coming up. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Right, we are back. We are debating whether it is appropriate for Hembo to be asking college basketball questions to Graziano
or
not.
We'll see how it goes.
Either way, he's done it. John Wooden won the most national championship games with 10.
Sure.
Which coach has lost the most championship games?
I don't know this one like I knew yesterday's college basketball one, but I have a guess. And between Kansas and North Carolina, I feel like Roy Williams had some rough times in the national championship game. Roy Williams is my guess.
So close. He's got 3, but it's Coach K. It's Coach K who's lost 4. Coach K lost 4 times, 86, 90, 94, and 99.
All
Roy
right.
Williams and Dean Smith lost 3 each. I refuse to put a loss up here.
No.
There's no way. He's not a college basketball analyst. You're just asking a sports fan a question. I don't think that one should count in the standings. We will have to have a meeting to discuss it afterwards. I don't think I'm overreacting to that at all. Speaking of which,
that's good.
It's time for Overreaction Wednesday. So I'm going to say something that I think people are saying, and Dan, you tell us if that something is an overreaction. So if I were to say Mitchell Trubisky will lead the Steelers to the playoffs, is that an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I think they could get there. They showed this year they can get there despite, you know, a number of things. But I don't think Mitchell Trubisky, I mean, people are excited about this, what he can be. You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and he was a backup in Buffalo all last year. We still haven't seen week-to-week consistency of performance at a high level from Trubisky in the NFL. I'd be surprised if he got all that ironed out in a year. If the Steelers make the playoffs, I think it's because of their defense.
All right, let me go to another quarterback one. If I were to say Tyrod Taylor is going to start more games for the Giants this year than Daniel Jones, would that be an overreaction?
I think it is an overreaction. I mean, look, fundamentally, Tyrod Taylor doesn't take people's jobs. People take his job. Like that, he's like the unluckiest man in the NFL.
It's true.
Constantly losing his job. It's smart of him to go someplace where they don't have a rookie, finally, that would take his job. But I think he's a good backup for the Giants. He's got mobility. They wanted somebody who could be mobile like Daniel Jones if they had to put him in there. I think he stays the backup this year.
All right. And then, finally, if someone were to look at the way free agency has gone so far, the sense that we're getting, and say the Cowboys are not going to win the division this year, is that an overreaction?
It's not an overreaction because no one wins the NFC East 2 years in a row. The last time it happened, my older son was a year old. He leaves for college this summer. So they're not going to win the NFC East because it's impossible to repeat in that division. Look, I think we've said this all offseason. The Cowboys roster next year has a good chance to be worse than it was this year. A lot of things broke right for them this year. You can't count on that year in, year out. The other teams in the division should be better. I don't think it's an overreaction to pick somebody else.
All right, one of the reasons that this feels like a problem is because the biggest move of their offseason happened yesterday, and it went the wrong way, but it happened in very unusual fashion. You see Randy Gregory's name at the top of that list. We had all agreed that keeping Gregory was the number one priority for the Cowboys this offseason, and there was a moment in time yesterday when it looked as though they had done just that, and then as the day went on, it flipped. Randy Gregory had signed or had agreed with the Cowboys, but nothing is signed. And then he agreed to essentially the same contract with the Broncos. Very quickly, Dan, what happened there?
It was a double flip-flop. He had had his mind set on Denver because they had put a real good courtship on him, made him feel like a high priority. Then the Cowboys came in, reminded him of all they've been through together. He flipped to the Cowboys, and then he flipped back to Denver. The agent is saying it's because of contract language the Cowboys put in there. The Cowboys dispute that, say it's fundamentally the young man changed his mind a couple of times.
So let's first deal with how good a player he actually is. Teddy Bruschi, how would you describe the significance of Randy Gregory to either of his teams that he winds up on?
Well, the success of this defense, guys, was all based on taking the ball away. And Randy Gregory is the pass. When Randy Gregory was on the field, they had more takeaways, 17, than touchdowns allowed in 14. There it is. It's impactful in terms of pressure on the football, getting your hands up, ball disruption, helping the DBs out, getting easy interception, tips, balls, all of that stuff. I mean, you take away a piece of that, and I mean, you take away possessions. So now offenses will have longer possessions, more possessions, because they just don't have the impactful pass rusher that can make those impactful plays, because it was so important for them to take the football away. That's what this defense was all about.
So that's a huge loss for the Cowboys there. But before I get Bart in here, Mike, all is not done here. Until 4 o'clock this afternoon, none of these things are official. So what could the Cowboys still do?
Yeah, the only that can be official until 4 o'clock, Greeny, is you could re-sign with your own team. Free agency does not begin until 4 o'clock. So interestingly, if I'm Jerry Jones, I could find out where Randy Gregory is, fly to go see him.
That's called stalking, TB.
Or it's called closing. And it's basically, you could get a deal done, sign the contract, and say, oh, by the way, we also have a couple of sponsors that want to talk to you, Randy, if you're a Dallas Cowboy. So it is not official until 4 p.m. today.
And could teammates do that part? If he's your teammate, I mean, I remember when the Jets courted you once upon a time. I mean, if you're his teammate right now in Dallas, are you trying to lobby him to stay?
No, absolutely. And then maybe it's some conversations that a guy may be able to restructure just a little bit, to put a little bit more cheese on his taco. But listen, I think he's more important to Denver than he is to Dallas, because Dallas is in a weak division. But you talk about going into the AFC West and what you have to contend with, that's why you see the arms race. You have to have not one, but you have to have two, because you can't allow lines to slide to him. So Randy Gregory is essential to the success in Denver. He's one of the finishing pieces that they need, because you talk about Mahomes, you talk about Herbert. Everybody's loading up and everybody's having his arms race. I think no matter what Dallas comes back with, Denver's going to go say, I'll raise you one more. And at some point, you have to decide who you want to play with and what you know team gives you the best window to win a championship. And I believe I'd rather hitch my wagon to Russell Wilson than I rather do to Dak Prescott.
You know, here's another thing the Cowboys can do besides stalk Randy Gregory. They could sign somebody else. I mean, like, if you sign Von Miller or Chandler Jones or Za'Darius Smith, like, all of a sudden, this doesn't look like such a bad loss.
Yeah,
right?
But that's an older dude.
It wasn't their preference, obviously, but they lost him. So now you have to fill that, and the Cowboys could still come out of the next wave of free agency feeling like they've done that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a number, right? And I'm sure they're telling him, like, listen, in Dallas, there's no state taxes, bro. You're going to get more of your money. But so that's what I mean. That means a lot. So that means that he really loves what Denver is building. Yeah. He loves the pitch that they gave him. Everybody loves to be wanted. And sometimes, you know, when you're sitting there and you got that woman at home, you forget when she go out in them streets, people going to be coming at her, sliding them DMs, and they're going to show a little bit more love than you do.
And Green, we've talked about that the last couple of days. That's Dallas' approach to free agency, and it cost them here. They could have gotten this deal done a week ago.
Yep.
Denver never would have been in the picture.
They told him, go out, solicit another deal, and then come back and talk to us. Teddy, put a ribbon on this before I move on to the next thing.
Just that, I mean, I wanted to bring in how focused now Von Miller can be to get to how important he can be to Dallas. Because, I mean, real quickly, what Von Miller did to the Los Angeles Rams, I mean, there was a reason why the leadership of Aaron Donald towards the end of the season was a little different to me. Von Miller told him, he's like, hey, man, you're the best in the business. You got to be a little bit more vocal. And then Aaron took that to the next level. And all of a sudden, you see Aaron being that more vocal leader. Von helped him with that. A presence like that can come into a Dallas defense and teach a lot of guys on how to make bigger plays on the bigger stage when it means the most.
It'll be fascinating to see if that's what winds up happening here. All these things get sorted out in the next few hours. With that said, the AFC West feels like it has a chance to be competitive on a level that we've seen very few divisions in NFL history. So, as of right now, Teddy, who is your favorite to win the AFC West?
AFC West, I'm still going with the Chiefs, fellas. I just think that there are a lot of players going into the AFC, pass rushers, cornerbacks, quarterbacks, all of that stuff, but coaching. The coaching still, I think, is proven in Kansas City with Spags and Andy Reid, and that's still going to be the difference in the end, because that's how valuable I think that piece is and that experience of that tandem, of that Reid-Spagnuolo partnership works. I'm going with the Chiefs.
Bart, who do you like in the AFC West as of right now?
Well, you know, Teddy's forgetting that defense is optional in Kansas City. You have to be a complete team. You saw them get exposed, and Tyrann Mathieu still isn't on that roster right now. So I think that, you know, I have to go with the Chargers because they're all in. You know, you think about Justin Herbert. He has, you know, if it wasn't for his coach, you know, listening to the Geek Squad too much, they would have beat Kansas City twice last year. And listen, they've only gotten better. You talk about the addition of J.C. Jackson, and if Derwin James can stay healthy, that's going to give opportunity for Khalil Mack to have a bounce back here, Joey Bosa to do what he can do.
But I just have to jump in on that, Teddy. It's the coaching, right? I mean, you got Andy Reid on one side and you got Brandon Staley on the other.
It's a pretty big piece. It's a pretty big
piece.
That's
what
I mean. Okay. You make
but
a
the
decision
geek,
like
listen,
that.
I think he fires the Geek,
the
30, he fires the geek
like
Squad.
Two.
He fires the Geek Squad, sends him back to Best Buy, and I think he figures it out because he understands that he can lean more on his defense. He doesn't have to be so risky. You know, no risky, no biscuit.
Let's see if he does that. Does that, because he was pretty committed to it last year. And, I mean, that in a tight division that this is going to be now, a game or
that
two here and there because
Tennessee,
of a decision,
though,
it's going to mean a lot.
All right, let's go to the next year. Graziano, who you like in that division?
I don't think Staley's going to change his technique on that or his belief in that. And I, to my knowledge, I haven't seen any news of a Patrick Mahomes trade. So I'm going to stick with Kansas City, the team that always wins this division. And I'm 100% with Teddy Bruschi on this. The rest of the coaches in this division, the head coaches, are unproven. And Andy Reid is a proven winner over a long period of time. They know how to do this. They still, as great as Justin Herbert is, as exciting as it is to have Russell Wilson, Mahomes is still the best quarterback in that division. When you have the best coach and best quarterback, you're the favorite.
Mike T.
I got to go with the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes just got married. He's not going anywhere. We are overcomplicating things. They actually signed Justin Reid, who's a really good safety, and maybe they're not going to bring back Tyrann Mathieu, but this guy is a really good player. I know their defense isn't perfect, but they got the best player on the planet.
Perfect is a liability.
I just felt I should insert the name, the Denver Broncos, into this conversation as well, just because no one else said it. And candidly, they made the biggest acquisitions, right? They got the quarterback that everybody wanted. They got the defensive pass rusher. You guys just spent the last 5 minutes telling
it's
me fluid. He's unbelievably good. I'm interested to see what winds up happening with their new coach. That's the question. If they knew they weren't getting Rodgers, would he be the coach? We'll have to wait and see. But I think Denver's, that team belonged in the conversation one way or the other. All right, back to the tournament. Here we go. It started last night, oh, by the way. You got the two open. opening round games, including this one, the matchup for the 12 seed there. Winner gets St. Mary's between Indiana and Wyoming, and this one belonged to the team from the Big Ten. That's Jordan Geronimo in the second half, giving Indiana a six-point lead, and then with 9 minutes to play, it's Trace Jackson Davis. He had a big night. He's working hard inside. The Big Ten has 9 teams in the big dance, and Indiana said, we're not going home so quick. Take a look at the alley-oop here. That's Xavier Johnson throwing it up, and Jackson Davis throwing it down. Indiana with a 7-point lead, and then you want a little more gusto from Jackson Davis, who had 29 points last night. Watch him here taking it in and throwing it down with the left hand. Indiana wins it 66-58. They will play St. Mary's on Thursday. That game will be in Portland, and again, we got a lot of brackets coming in here. We are at almost 12 million and counting being created with the ESPN Tournament Challenge. It is time to sign up and play. Download the Tournament Challenge app. Use all the great tools to fill out your men's and women's brackets. Do it today. Meanwhile, coming up, what if Deshaun Watson were to be traded for another star quarterback? Bart Scott has a fascinating idea. It is worth talking about, and we will next.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by WebEx. Tip-off is almost here. Download the app now.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
To all the non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers. Good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
And it is my main man, Bart Scott, here with a whole bunch of things as we approach the new league year that he can't wait to see. And it starts with some players whose decisions we're waiting on.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the season of courtship. Show me the money. And I tell you what, I can't wait. The first thing is the cherry on top. You say, what is the cherry on top? These are the players that if they come, they're the finishing pieces potentially to a championship. You talk about Bobby Wagner. You talk about Von Miller. You talk about Chandler Jones and the Honey Badger. I can't wait to see what they go. 4 o'clock can't come soon enough, Greeny.
Okay, so it'll be interesting to see those guys in particular. We talked about Von Miller earlier. How about the receivers?
I tell you what, man, leave it up to the Jacksonville Jaguars to screw up the market. Are you serious? Christian Kirk, $21 million a year. If they are worth $21 million a year, what is Allen Robinson worth? What is Odell Beckham worth? Where would Jarvis Landry go? I can't wait to see where they go and what the numbers are going to be.
It's interesting because receivers now have become something like a dime a dozen. Tannenbaum was suggesting yesterday maybe ultimately their prices will start to drop. In the meantime, we still have quarterbacks to deal with as well.
And finally, to honor Ashton Kutcher, I can't wait for the butterfly effect. Where would Deshaun Watson go and how would that affect the futures of everybody else? I see a scenario potentially where Jimmy G goes back to San Francisco if Deshaun Watson goes to the Saints. That means Jameis Winston becomes a player. Maybe he goes to the Colts. I can't wait to see it, Dre. It's crazy. This whole thing is out of control.
Yeah.
Court me.
It will ultimately come down, the quarterback piece of this, it does feel like the world is kind of waiting on the Deshaun Watson, which absolutely could happen today, and then we'll see where it winds up. In the meantime, you floated an idea for a trade on your radio show, Bart and Hahn, every weekday on ESPN Radio, Coast to Coast, noon Eastern, that I thought was really interesting. And it's gotten some traction here. For those who haven't seen it, what's that idea?
It makes sense, perfect sense for, I believe, a trade to go with the Arizona Cardinals, Deshaun Watson, for Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray says he won't play under the $5 million tag. You don't let some guy come in on his rookie deal that hasn't proven anything come dictate the rules of engagement for you. You send him to a place where he's never lost. He's never ever lost in the state of Texas. You send him to the Texans. The Texans get a franchise quarterback, and arguably, you know, the Arizona Cardinals get a Super Bowl caliber, MVP caliber quarterback that can make them the favorite to win the championship. This is a team that's within their window. They brought in J.J. Watt, Captain America, the finishing pieces. Now, if they have a franchise quarterback that can be durable and healthy, he still does a lot of the things that the baby Mandalorian does, I think that's a win-win for everybody.
Well, it's interesting. Of course, he had great success with DeAndre Hopkins in Houston, and that would reunite the two of them together in the desert. So, Teddy, it is, pardon me, an interesting concept. I don't know that Houston could do a whole lot better than getting back Kyler Murray in all of this. They did draft Davis Mills last year. I don't know if they think he's going to be the future of their quarterback situation. What do you think? The idea of the kind of blockbuster we basically never see in the NFL, does it make sense?
Yeah, this is a little off the wall, Bart, but I'm with it because, I mean, you'd get Kyler, and then he it's sort of resetting his motivation, too, because I think he's gotten comfortable there in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury. And for you're right, for him to be making demands right now when he can't even finish a season 100% healthy, I mean, it's hard. And this is a player in Kyler Murray that really has to be healthy because a small body, he's short. I mean, when there's something wrong with the lower extremities, and then he can't be the explosive player that puts him above the rest. So, man, if this would be a blockbuster, Deshaun Watson in Arizona, this is something I really like.
Yeah, let's make it clear. We don't think Kyler Murray is as good as Deshaun Watson.
No, but he's still
better than anybody else they might get.
Yeah, because if you get three first-round draft picks, who are those three first-round draft picks? They can be Sam Darnold. They can mess around and be Mitchell Trubisky, and you end up, you know, worse than you started off. It's not about picks. It's about proven players.
Tell me how something like this might happen, if it would happen. Does it make sense to you from a GM perspective?
It actually does, 100%, because now you're matching up salaries and cap room. And now if I'm Houston, to Bart's point, Greeny, he'd be the first quarterback in this year's draft. Next year's draft, including Bryce Young. So if I'm Houston, I'm recovering what I'm losing in Deshaun Watson.
Dan, the Kyler Murray piece of this, it all began when he took the Cardinals off his social media. He has subsequently put them back on. There was a bunch of public posturing in all of this. Is there any, what do we think we know right now about the relationship between Murray and the Cardinals?
I think ultimately he'll be the Cardinals quarterback. I think they'll get a deal done with him. I think there's some ground to do it. It's after year three. It's the first time they can really do it. So the early part of the negotiations may not have gone great, but ultimately I think they end up together. I do like this, though. When Bart's not here, he's a sports talk radio host, right?
Right, yes.
Like this, the backbone of sports talk radio is people calling in with off-the-wall trade ideas.
Yes.
Like it's not that off the wall. I disagree with Teddy.
It is.
I think it would make everybody happy.
I mean, it's off the wall to the extent that this is the kind of thing that just doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
You get a 26-year-old and a 24-year-old. It allows you, because you don't have to pay Kyler Murray, so you can really surround him and let him kind of prove himself. But also, you can give him the money if you want to because you have the room for it.
I haven't had Teddy in a while on the program here. So, Teddy, I guess I would ask you, the way this all has gone with Kyler Murray, the statement that the agent put out and all of the social media stuff. But here we are talking about Baker Mayfield. That's another Oklahoma first-round pick who won the Heisman. What do you think of the way this whole thing has gone with Kyler Murray?
Yeah, it's I like to say your true colors come shining through eventually, you know, and Kyler is sort of pulling a there are times during the season where I just didn't like the body language of a Kyler Murray and how he just didn't seem like to be the leader of a team, okay? And I'll say that. I mean, I didn't think I think he can be a better leader. Now, with this trade, you also have to have another team that wants that. That wants a 5'10 quarterback that hasn't played, that isn't very durable, all right, that possibly has attitude problems and leadership, you know, leadership abilities that he doesn't have. So you'd have to have Nick Caserio over there in Houston saying, yeah, this is the guy that I want. And possibly, I mean, you're not going to have a lot of teams that do.
And what he definitively wants is a contract, right?
Yeah,
you have to sign the long-term contract with
him. But listen, not all leaders are born. Some are made and developed. And I think you have time to really save Kyler Murray. I think he's been, you know, coddled a little bit, and he needs a dose of reality. This would be the dose of reality that he needs, that, hey, a team decided to move on from you. You know, you only get an opportunity to be a franchise guy.
Be interesting to see. And there's one other thing from football I want to get to in a couple of minutes here. Another proposal that might make a lot of sense. I also want to make sure you know we have two great basketball games for you tonight here here on ESPN. We got Luka and the Mavs taking on KD and the Nets. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Then our West Coast primetime games in San Francisco. We got Jason Tatum and the Celtics taking on Steph and the Warriors. Don't miss all the action. We'll be here for NBA Countdown starting 7 Eastern tonight on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up top of the hour. Did Kyrie prove last night he's an all-time great? And is Baker Mayfield too sensitive? Don't miss Molly, Stephen A., and the Mad Dog, Chris Russo, top of the hour, right here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The NCAA Women's Tournament First Four begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPNU and the ESPN app. We got great action here that'll include the Incarnate Word taking on Howard and then DePaul taking on Dayton. In the meantime, I want to finish with this. So there are some rules proposals that have been submitted to the league, and they involve overtime. And, you know, there's some teams that have suggested, the Eagles and the Colts have suggested, that both teams get to touch the ball in overtime. That's nothing new. The Titans have suggested that the team that gets the ball first, if they score a touchdown and go for the two and get it, the game ends. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't. That's an intriguing little possibility. Teddy, right off the top of your head, like it or not?
I know it's all about being able to see both quarterbacks, and you know, I'm with that a little bit, but all this is about, I mean, defense has got to stop somebody, and if the Buffalo Bills, I mean, they thought it was a good idea to give a 20-yard cushion to Travis Kelce, so, I mean, defense has got to do something, right? But let's just keep making excuses for him. Stop somebody.
Well, Vince Lombardi once said that, you know, football's the greatest game, it's the only thing in the world that we can't make easy, and now guys want to try and make it easy. Toughen up. Stop some damn body.
What do you think, Tannenbaum?
I like it from a standpoint that, like, Cincinnati made a defensive play to beat Kansas City. Right. So if the defense can make at least one play, the offense gets the ball back.
Grez?
It comes down to a two-point conversion. I'm kind of surprised the Chargers didn't propose it. I thought that would make a lot more sense. But no, I did a fun wrinkle. I like the idea.
I do, too. And it adds some other strategy. We'll see what they do. All right, this was great fun. Thanks for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.